So, what was the first Footspan production you can remember seeing?
I think the first show I saw was Circus Tossoff in 1983.
Wow.
Or 1984, 1983, around there, yeah.
And how old were you then?
About five.
What do you remember most about it then?
What I remember was they were a very acrobatic bunch. They were all really, really, they were young. So, some of them, and they were very physical. And it was a lot of jumping around and being extremely silly. And they were, they were pretty wild. It's the least you could say.
Do you think they've perhaps toned themselves down a bit then, if they were now?
Probably, yeah. A little bit. Quite a bit. I mean, obviously, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, what you do when you're that age, you can't do it. But that, from that point of view, they turned it down, obviously. Because my buddy used to jump around off balconies. They used to do parades down the street. And,
so this was when they were still based in the Footspan itself.
At the beginning, they used to do more parades. And so now, I mean, they haven't done a parade in a couple of years. I think they do parades usually, you know.
But
in those days, they used to, Paddy used to have his bike and he'd go down. He'd find, get all the public behind him and he'd put a ramp into a river. And he'd do a massive bike ride down the street and jump straight to the river on a bike.
Oh, there's a river over there.
And, you know, as they were going down the road, in the parades, they would climb up telephone poles, play trumpets, you know, run around into pubs, just try and get the public involved as much as possible, you know.
The audiences into them.
Yeah, getting as much attention as possible, doing the most craziest things. These thick firecrackers down there, underpants.
God.
Little bangers, you know, proper ones.
Did you used to get a... Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was hilarious. I think it's funny.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was quite inspired, you know.
So then as you grew up, then they moved to France. Did you move with them?
They didn't move to France. Actually, in the beginning they were just travelling around.
Sort of nomadic.
Yeah, they went to Portugal and France, Italy, and mostly those three countries. Portugal.
And you've always travelled.
Travelled with them. Yeah, yeah. And parts of East Europe, Germany. Then we did a tour of Australia.
Oh, wow.
In caravans and trucks. We got given caravans and trucks. And we travelled around the outback in caravans, going through rivers and everything with the caravan attached.
Brilliant.
I got a photograph of the actual caravan in the water because some of the Australian outback's extremely wild. So so it's pretty pretty crazy. That was pretty, a whole year and a half. We actually played for an Aboriginal village. We lived with the Aboriginals and they were like our family, you know. And we did a show with them and everything. Yeah, it's amazing. My little brother was only eight months old, and because my mum was making all the costumes and the masks, Aboriginal kids would come along and pick him up and just carry him around all day. And my mum was really happy because she could do our masks. They're really good with kids.
Do you think that might have influenced the sort of the style of the masks and the costume going around so much?
Definitely. Oh, yeah, for sure. She's like, they've been like in Italy and the Comedy dell'arte, that kind of thing, I think she says. I'm not too sure what it's called, but anyway. And they've been in Bali, Indonesia, where they have a big mask culture. And my mother, around the world, she just looks at lots of artistic styles, tries to mix them in, even their theatre styles like that, too, you know. She's very eclectic.
So travelling around, I assume that you've obviously performed to a very vast array of different cultures, which would all have different sort of ways of responding to theatre.
Yeah.
How do you think they differ, if they do differ?
different theatres around the world.
The different responses that the audiences have given from an outside perspective.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because
you're
not a performer, so you can see that from an outside perspective.
The audience around the world, I can't really say about that, but I think it responds pretty, you know, it's a very colourful and active, you know, so people appreciate it even when they don't understand it.
So even when they don't understand it.
In India they loved it, in Africa and loads of countries they love it, yeah.
So say take an Indian audience, a typical Indian audience that you've seen Futsbaum perform to, and then you compare it with the audience tonight.
What
major differences are there? I mean, it's really, obviously there are differences, but...
Us in India, they're very serious when they watch a show.
Yeah.
They don't, like, they laugh, but they're very intense. They watch it very intensely, you know. Mm. They don't fidget around. They're very concentrated. You know? Then at the end, they clap, like, they really appreciate it. They don't make as much noise. They're very still, and I think for them to see these Europeans acting in the middle of India was quite something, you know.
Yes, yes,
you know, yes.
It's interesting why they have this different attitude to theatre. Because here, I've noticed, you know, people laugh all the time.
That's right.
Just very open with their responses. Do you think there's been anywhere else that you've noticed the audience have been even more vocal with their response?
More vocal with their response.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, I think all the countries different. It depends more on the area of the country. Poorer people make a lot more noise. You know?
Really?
Yeah, I find that. Yeah, in the posher parts in London and Paris, they're a little bit more harder to impress. You know? So,
bourgeois style.
Yeah, a bit bourgeois. You know, they want to be impressed. You know?
Which
they usually are anyway. So, I mean, you know, they make noise everywhere, pretty much. Yeah.
So as you've grown up, you've travelled round with them, and you moved to France with Futsbaum.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the style developing, changing, sculpting to sort of...
Futsbaum style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, yeah, for sure. I think the show's got more... definitely. They just got more and more influences. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
from different cultures.
Yeah, and more actors coming in from different countries. So,
yeah.
At the beginning, it was English, and then afterwards, there was some Portuguese actress, and then a Finnish guy came, and then we had Scottish, and then Dutch, and then obviously French, and. And then afterwards we started getting Indian actors, and we have a Japanese actress. And at one time there was a show we had Odyssey, and they spoke in about six different languages. And they made a show where everyone spoke their own language.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's a mad idea. It was really good though. It worked. And the Indians spoke in Hindi, Malayalam. And there was a Danish guy, and in French and English and... something else I forgot. Yeah, it was really good though.
And which people audience was that performed
to? It worked well.
To?
It was Odyssey.
Where was that performed? Was it toured?
Toured around in England and everything. Yeah, it was really good.
Wow. And
the people from India, they did the Indian dancing and everything.
Picking up so many different.
Chandran here. He played. He's been in Futsbaum for ages. You know.
Wow.
He's played tabla and sitar and loads of. And that's the first time when we went to India. They got actors and him and mixed in the Indian flavour. It's really good. It worked really well for the Odyssey because the Odyssey is sort of it's Greek, you know. It's quite exotic, so
which gives it that feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
And now Futsbaum in 2008. How do you imagine it going forward? I've heard sort of about perhaps a Futsbaum school being set up. Or how do you see Futsbaum in say 5 to 10 years time?
I think that Futsbaum should do like a school for sure.
Yeah.
Because their style. would be, it's a great style. And you should see the shows before, they were quite amazing. Anyway, Monty Python people used to come and watch the shows a lot. So they got a lot of inspiration from Puss in Clowns. No, they did. The three-headed knight in stolen from Puss in Boots show.
I think it was Shakespeare.
In the Holy Grail, you know?
Yeah.
Three-headed knight. That says me, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's
that was from Puss in Boots.
Oh, my God.
So seeing that, I bet it's like,
Totally, I know, it's mad, isn't it?
Thank you very much anyway.
Yeah, that's
cool.
The clowns, I mean, Chris Parker, they used to, and I was going to say, their clowning was really amazing. That's what, you know.
Yeah.
We should try and get the videos and put them on YouTube.
Yeah, you're really saying, cool. You really should. I'd love to see them.
The clowns were crazy. They were absolutely mad. They were really funny, though. They did weird things, you know. They used to do the... They used to do, the actors were only a few actors, so they used to do the putting up the tents and they would do the technician work and everything because they didn't have anybody. So I saw one video and they was collecting tickets in the front and there was Paddy and Rod in their 20s and they were like, he was standing there with a baseball bat looking at the people coming to get their tickets. And Paddy was just sitting there looking at them and they put their ticket out and Paddy would just grab their ticket, look at their ticket, grab it, stick it in his mouth and chew it and then spit out on the floor. And, and the guy with the rug with the baseball bat would go point in the tent and like get
oh
in something. Yeah, it's funny. I'm completely mad.
I'd love to see that.
It's so funny. It
has to go on YouTube. It'd be amazing.
Wish I was alive to see that.
Yeah, completely mad, you know. So, you know. Yeah. They used to do really good things. Anyway, we'll try and get it on YouTube.
Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, no problem.